To show you
the Trump impressions and everything. Right. Here.
I got wine. I have water because I'll be doing Trump impressions also. It does a number on my throat.
Oh yeah. No, I got that fucking 10% tiki drink we had at Midsummer.
Oh, there you go. That dude, shit's hell nice. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah,
yeah,
dude.
And no fucking dinner.
Midsummer.
So.
Florence Pugh, great actress. Hell of a chef. She makes great food. Some of the best you'll find. Midsummer. Robert Eggers, great director.
Wow.
Stephen King, original novel. No, they're not.
I wanted to play the part, but you know, it's totally fine. She's my May Queen. All right. Way different movie. Barely any white people in this one. Let's roll.
I know.
Hey.
Oh, God.
Hello, and welcome to the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Fuentes. With me is, of course, Phil Acevedo. Alex Webster right now has just challenged Hulk Hogan to a match after his RNC appearance, so we will not be hearing from her this week. Maybe next week. Anyways, we have a special episode for you here today. We wanted to get the season of Paxton really, really hitting this time. And for our last main movie before the season finale, we figured, why not this very cartoonish performance? What is it, Phil?
This is, of course, none other than the sequel to 1987's Predator. Yes, we are coming with you hard with Predator 2, Electric Boogaloo.
We are coming with you hard?
We're coming hard at you. I don't even know what I said.
We're going to all finish at the same time. It's going to be a beautiful sequel.
Predator 2, what can I say? Very good. It's up there with The Godfather 2, The Dark Knight, Paddington 2. Predator 2 is one of those fantastic, magnificent sequels.
Oh, I thought you were saying Predator 2 like me and Epstein.
Two predators, one island. I mean, one spaceship.
There you go, right? this is a good way to start it. Good relevant.
So Predator 2, yeah. Should I get started here?
Go for it.
Rock it. All right, let's start it off with an IMDb synopsis, shall we?
Oh.
All right, cool. Here it is. The Predator returns to Earth, this time to shake a claim on the war-torn streets of a dystopian Los Angeles.
Oh boy, is it like fucking favelas and like this is some hardcore 1997 Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, dude, this movie starts off with like whoosh, you're in Los Angeles 1997 and it's hot as fuck.
I love like how it's like starts with a regular jungle and it's like no, but the real jungle is.
Yeah, I love that. I actually love that transition.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about this movie, obviously, but like I really love how the way this movie started off. I thought that was really cool. I was like, oh, it's not the jungle like in the first one. We go to a concrete jungle.
That's right, baby.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. There it is. All right, so yes, of course, we mentioned Predator 2, and this was released on November 21st, 1990. Fuen, I think you and I were like three? Two?
Yeah.
Two and a half?
Yeah,
two and a half? Three?
We were lads.
Yeah,
we were definitely
like
lads.
We were in our terrible twos, that's for sure. And, of course, Predator 2 is directed by Stephen Hopkins and is written, once again, by the Thomas brothers, Jim and John Thomas. Yes, they are brothers, and they both wrote Predator 1.
Oh, shit. Cool. All right.
So, Predator 2 stars the one and only Danny Glover, Gary Busey, Ruben Blades, Maria Conchita Alonso, and the one and only the late, great Bill motherfucking Paxton.
Fucking goat, baby.
Mm-hmm. There we go, dude. And the budget for Predator 2 was $25 million smackaroos, and it made Just a little over $57.1 million when it was released back in 1990.
Pretty much broke even according to Hollywood accounting. So
yeah, it's okay. Hey, by 2024 standards, that's a shit ton of money.
Honestly, they'd be lucky to get that return on there. That's absolutely fucking
true. They're lucky if they make $50 million these days.
Shout out to Inside Out 2 for carrying the entire summer. I still haven't seen it, but I heard it's really good.
Dude, I'm not even gonna lie, man. I haven't even seen the first Inside Out.
Oh, that's the best Pixar movie.
I'm told it's really good.
It's
yes,
so
I know.
Good, dude.
I'm
it's,
super lagging on it. Yeah.
It's the Predator 1 of Pixar films, for sure. Yeah.
Anxiety's all like, run! Get to the chopper!
You ugly motherfucker. that's the Lewis Black character for sure.
There we go.
Absolutely. Oh, boy. All right.
Cool. So I'll take over this part right here. So we're going to start off with a little bit of plot breakdown.
Yeah, let's do it.
So the title for this part is called The Concrete Jungle. You know what? Let me try to do a Danny Glover here. The Concrete Jungle. I can't do a Danny Glover impression.
That just sounds a little old, Phil. That's just old.
Yeah, how about a little, man, I'm getting too old for this shit.
There you
I can't do it, man. A little bit of Lethal Weapon reference there. All right, so Predator 2 opens up in 1997 in Los Angeles during an intense war zone between the Colombians, the Jamaicans, and the LA motherfucking PD.
That's right. Ooh, the fashion district barely looks like that.
I know, right? I figured that was the fashion district.
That's
I was
so
like,
the fashion district.
Yeah. As we mentioned just like 5 minutes ago, it's really cool how it opens up. Like, you think it's a jungle, but like the camera pans up and it's LA, baby. And then you see the Predator's POV. And you just hear all this commotion, and it's like heat wave after heat waves everywhere. And we come up to this crazy, like, it just, this movie just throws you right into this fucking battlefield with this gang warfare going on. Two cops are like wounded on the ground and shit. It's,
I know this movie was made in 1990, but these gang members are 80s as fuck. Like, they were the fucking warriors fucking summoned. They're just like, warrior! And they were in the back. They were the same fucking guys.
Yeah.
They were like, can
you dig
it?
Their wardrobe was super
80s.
Yeah. Of course, dude. So, as we mentioned, it's an absolute bloody hot day in L.A. As innocent civilians and the media move away from the gangland battlefield when all hope is lost for the cops. This is where Lieutenant Michael R. Harrigan arrives at the scene ready to kick some ass.
Danny Glover, baby.
Danny Glover. Danny Glover just shows up. He's like, okay, take it away. I got to go. All right, you guys go this way. I go that way. Fucking start shooting up the place. Ask questions later, dude.
He's doing it, too, with like this fancy ass pistol. Everybody's got machine guns and shit. He's like, I just need 6 rounds. Let's roll. Mm-hmm. That's it.
he tears the car door off, and he just sticks his head out and he shoots his guns. Like, he's fucking badass, dude. He's a badass fucking cop.
I was like, is this his car? Is this his squad? Because they could not give a shit. I'm just like, whatever, it's fucking time.
All right, so Harrigan rescues the two wounded police officers and drives the Colombians back into their hideout. And this is where the Colombians re-strategize their tactics as they reload their guns with more bullets and reload their nostrils with more cocaine.
Be somebody, and baby.
I think the leader of this gang was called El Scorpio. Right?
Yes, I believe
so. Scorpio is ready. Mm-hmm. I do remember that. And suddenly, the Colombians are shooken up as the Predator crashes the fucking party, dude. Literally. Goes to the windows and just like, it's pretty cool. A pretty cool entrance.
Yeah, so you still get the invisible Predator effect at this time. So it makes it, I like that. In the first movie, obviously, you wait a big portion of the movie before you get the real one. This one, it happens much quicker. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. You see the Predator a lot more in this one, for sure. But, like, as you mentioned, he is still, like, in camouflage mode right now. So, and Harrigan and his team enter the hideout and find the Colombians have already all been slaughtered, dude. They're butt naked, hanging upside down from the ceilings. Some are just, like, blown inside out.
Are you describing my downstairs neighbors or the fucking movie?
However, the leader is still alive, and Harrigan chases the surviving leader up to the roof, and this is where the leader is spooked once again as he spots the camouflage Predator standing behind Harrigan. Harrigan shoots down the leader and also spots the Predator, And then he just, like, dismisses it because, you know, he's thinking it's due to the heat and his fear of heights. Mm. You know, he spots, like, the camouflage. He sees something, like, 10 feet away from him. He's like, what the hell is that? But then he just dismisses it, and he's like, I'm getting too old for this shit.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yep. What was his character's name? Lethal Weapon? Murdoch was Marto, right?
Dude, I need to see those movies again.
I know, those were so good. I'm actually a Lethal Weapon 4 stan, too. I don't know why. I like 4.
I think 4 was my introduction to the series because I was like a kid when that one came out, and I knew who Jet Li was.
Yes, same.
And Chris Rock, of course.
Chris Rock as well, yeah. I saw 4 in theaters, actually, so...
I don't think I saw 4 in theaters. I saw 4... That was, like, my introduction to that franchise. And then I saw the other ones later.
Other ones are great, too. Yeah. There's Riggs and Murtaugh.
Riggs and Murtaugh. There you go. Mm-hmm. Actually, we'll mention a little bit of Lethal Weapon later on as we talk more about this movie.
Hey,
but first, Flynn, why don't you take us more into the plot breakdown here?
Well, shit happens, man. Well...
Shit happens, man. Fucking voodoo magic, man.
I love the way they categorize gang members in this fucking... This is it's amazing. Anyways, good old satanic panic. Now, back at the police station, Harrigan is getting a verbal ass-whooping from his superiors. Additionally, Harrigan is introduced to Special Agent Keyes, leader of a disclosed special task force investigating L.A. cartels. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Gary Busey, who is hilarious in this fucking movie.
Hey, do I sound like Gary Busey or what the fuck?
He plays such like an upstanding guy until like later on it's just, he went full Gary Busey.
Does. Gary Busey was in everything during the early 90s, dude. Yes. Point Break. This dude was like in a lot of fucking... He was in a lot of things. He played the same fucking character, dude.
Absolutely.
Is he still with us?
Yeah, right? He is still with us. Yeah, he's just crazy.
Yeah.
I've had injury and shit. Although, yeah. I say Harrigan, but I was about to say Riggs.
Riggs, there you go.
He has my favorite line of this whole thing right now in this scene when the chief tells him, like, oh, you're going to have oversight. This scene's like, well, you might as well cut my dick off and shove it up my ass.
I forgot about that line.
I was like, okay. Well,
I forgot about that.
That was interesting.
Dude, masculine men did not give a fuck back in the early 90s.
This dialogue was awesome.
They would say some shit where if you were to say it now in 2024, they're like, hey, man, just say you're gay, dude. It's all right. Dude. Yeah, it's 2024. Yeah, nobody cares, dude.
It's fine. Oh, my gosh. It was hilarious that I was watching it. I'm just like, okay, well, that's a... Oh, it was Murtaugh. He was Murtaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Riggs. Okay, but still, again, the dialogue is like that for the rest of the movie. It's really that level. So while things get even more interesting for Harrigan as he is introduced to his newest member of his team, Detective Jerry Lambert, who cannot stop hitting on what's the lady's name in this? I can't remember. Latina girl though, Maria Conchita Alonso.
Leona
reminds me of Kay from Akira.
Oh my god, I was just gonna say she's got this incredible anime hair.
Bro, her personality is the fucking same too.
She really is, dude. I think she was adorable. I think she's really cute.
Mm-hmm.
No, great accent. I'm not familiar with the actress. I don't know what else was she. She was in something. She was in another sci-fi thriller. It's not Aliens. It's something else. But damn, dude. Really, I'm going to look her up in a little bit as you continue the plot breakdown.
Yeah, no. She was fucking cool in this one. Very pretty hair. You're right. Mm-hmm. Well, later in the evening, we hear the roaring sounds of a woman riding her Colombian drunk lord lover as if she was having an exorcism performed on her or something similar to that.
Dude.
Yeah, this is the James Woods moment for sure from Scary Movie 2.
What a sick-ass transition. We go from the police station where Danny Glover tells Bill Paxton, hey, kid, welcome to the jungle. And then, like, you hear these... big thuds, and then you just hear, And I'm like, what is that? Like, as a kid, I remember watching this, and I'm like, then, like, you see these, like, L.A. skyscrapers, and then you close into another, and then you see something bouncing up and down.
Yeah.
And you get another intense close-up, and it's a naked woman with titties bouncing out. But, dude, the sounds that she was making.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, what the fuck is going on with this woman? She's riding that man to another dimension.
Dude, this is a live-action anime, I swear. Because really they were is. The most glistening titties, too, and that skyline was not real. That was a red-ass fucking skyline right there. Like, I'd never seen L.A. like that.
Oh yeah.
It was really good. Also, I think that was on the Skid Row side. So again, it's if you're Angelino, you can kind of recognize these little landmarks. Just as the woman is about to climax, a group of Jamaican drug lords invade the penthouse. Oh, they got a score to settle. Now, the Jamaicans hold the woman hostage as they hang the Colombian drug lord upside down and murder his ass in a very gruesome way where they're cutting right into him, about to fucking just fillet this dude. But suddenly, the Predator arrives and kills the Jamaicans, leaving the woman as the only survivor. Oof. Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He does not like his Jamaicans. He's like, well, you're going to appropriate my fucking dreads, huh?
The Predator saw them titties, and he's like, all right, you get to live. You're all right. You're okay.
The heat signature is coming off like real hot on there. I'm okay. You'd be the beacon here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, later that night, Harrigan and his team arrive at the crime scene and note that tonight's killings were very similar to the one earlier at the Colombian hideout. Oh, shit. Mystery continues, and he's a cop. He's like, nope, this don't make no sense. Key's team arrives and kicks out Harrigan. I lost my spot.
He kicks out Harrigan's team.
Harrigan's team, that's right. But later that night, Harrigan's most trusted partner, Danny, breaks into the crime scene to continue the investigation. Danny finds one of the Predator's spear tips, but is suddenly killed by our... real fucked up dread ridden antagonist. And that we get rid of our one Latino
Leona. Leona and Danny are the two Latinos here,
but you can only have one. It's 90s. Really have one. That's true. That's the quota.
This is a multicultural team right here. We got the leader led by Danny Glover, and then we got the two Latinos and we got the one white dude. That's pretty pretty cool. It sounds pretty LA to me.
It does. People talk about all this like diversity initiative, whatever, DEI. We're like, dude, they were doing this shit here.
There's no identity politics whatsoever in this.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. But you know what? There's this great photo that I came across of the entire team. I'll have to send it to you because there's this really cool promotional photo of this team that we're describing. It's like a photo for like a poster or something, for like an international poster.
Press for sure. Yeah.
They all have their guns pointed at different directions, kind of like Charlie's Angel style. But it's a very fucking awesome photo. Like, I think, it's a pretty cool, with Danny Glover in the middle, pointing his gun at, away from the camera or whatever. But Danny Glover's rocking these insane fucking pants. I have to show it to you, dude. Go ahead. And,
is he sweaty like he is in this entire fucking movie?
Dude, everybody in this movie is sweaty.
They're so goddamn sweaty. It's
dude, there's hilarious. There's a part when we get introduced to Bill Paxton. He's wearing a suit and he's got sweat pits coming out through the coat. Through the suit coat. Like, I'm just like, oh, shit, it was very convincing. This is probably, like, the sweatiest movie I think I've seen.
Oh, absolutely. And, again, Bill Paxton is also a straight-up anime character in this fucking movie. He really is.
Oh, yeah.
Again,
absolutely.
They want to talk about the diversity shit. Like, this movie's pretty woke. It is a woke Predator film, for sure. anyways, where was I? That's right. Pissed off that he lost his good friend, Harrigan vows to find Danny's killer. Additionally, a forensic analyst reveals that the spear tip found on Danny's body is not composed of any known element on the periodic table. What? Harrigan is learning more and more about Danny Boy's killer, and she's straight out of a fucking anime, too.
Yeah,
she really is.
Yeah, she is.
She's not even that old. She's just like an older lady who just knows everything.
Yep.
Yeah. She's like the Professor at Akira, I tell you. There's a lot of parallels here.
Oh, yeah. What's it called? If we continue on to Danny's death, Harrigan goes to the cemetery to go visit Danny Boy's thing, and he finds Danny's necklace hanging by a tree in the cemetery. And the editing and the music choice, this entire scene was incredible because, like, you'd get different angles of Harrigan pulling out his gun and pointing it in different directions.
Oh, yeah, with the fucking zoom, too.
Dun-dun, dun-dun,
oh, that was dun-dun. A good one, yes.
And I'm like, what is going on here? But it was so fucking cool, though.
Oh, that was fucking hilarious. I love that. I really did.
It was so cool. And then there's, of course, that little boy who sees the camouflage predator, and he's like, want some candy? And I was like, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
A predator and a little boy and candy. This is kind of weird.
This is that's pretty on the nose, filmmakers. Pretty on the nose. Right? Yeah.
Mm. What is this, a Weinstein production? Oh, God. Anyways, all right, it's my turn now.
Yeah.
So the title says, Utah, give me a predator too. A little nod to Gary Busey and the cinematic classic known as Point Break.
Wow.
Utah, give me two. So here we go. Harrigan seeks more answers and even consults with the Jamaican drug lord and voodoo high priest King Willie. This is so crazy. Like, Harrigan is so desperate that he actually accepts a ride from, like, these Jamaican drug lords. They're all hotboxing the car.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He gets out of the car. He's like, you guys really need to cut down.
Well, I love it, too, because Bill Paxton's character is like, you need me to come and eat some backup? Yeah. He's like, what the fuck are you going to do? Yeah. Like, what are you going
to
do?
Do you want me to follow you? Or, like, oh,
he's
man.
Like, just go. We're good.
He fails to write down the license plate number, too. Bill Paxton is so cool in this movie, dude. Mm-hmm. So Harrigan said, fuck it, man. I'm going to, you know, I lost some people. This Jamaican drug lord's lost some people. I might as well go meet with this Jamaican drug lord, King Willie, and maybe he might have some answers. He can probably point me to the right direction. So this is where King Willie reveals to Harrigan that he believes that this killer of both his and Harrigan's people is supernatural and that Harrigan should prepare to battle against it. He leaves him a very foreboding. Am I using that word right?
I think so. Yes.
A little foreboding message there.
Yeah. Pretty ominous. Ominous message.
Very ominous message. Yes. Like, dude, this shit is. He's like, this is not made of flesh. This is a supernatural being. So be careful. Harrigan leaves. He's like, all right, whatever, King Willie. And then she just fucking. He goes back in the hotboxing car and drives away, leaving King Willie by himself.
He's like, look, I'm a little second high right now. I was about to kill your ass.
I'm too old for this second high shit. As I mentioned, Harrigan leaves King Willie to be alone with his voodoo magic when moments later, the Predator arrives and straight up just decapitates King Willie's head. And and he keeps it as a trophy. He, like, skins the skull, polishes it up really nice, and he hangs it up in his freaking trophy collection.
It's like you're polishing bone.
Yep. And meanwhile, Harrigan and his team learn from a lead that Danny's killer had recently been at a specific slaughterhouse. So this is where Harrigan makes his way there as Jerry and Leona travel via the LA subway. This subway scene is actually pretty cool.
I mean, as dystopian as the rest of this movie is very exaggerated, the subway is pretty accurate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
oh, yeah.
still dystopian as fuck.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
As someone who's taken the LA subway recently, yeah, this is kind of accurate.
This is kind of on the nose. Actually, it looks a little cleaner. Like,
yeah, I know. It actually does. The LA subway that I took, like the underground subway in LA, I was like, oh, shit, I might just end up getting killed here. I lived a good life. So Jerry and Leona's subway is, of course, ambushed by the Predator. The subway turns into a moving bloodbath as the Predator slashes through civilians, criminals, and even poor old Jerry.
No.
R.I.P. Bill Paxton and Jerry. He was a really cool character. However, Leona is spared as the Predator learns that she is indeed pregnant.
Now, who the pappy?
We don't know. It's never acknowledged, huh? But what if it's Jerry?
Damn. No, that would be way soon.
I know, it's way too soon.
Yeah.
No, she straight up had like an embryo already, huh? She straight up had like a baby already, huh?
I think it could. Maybe it was Harrigan's. That's why he's so protective of her.
Oh, man. Probably. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. They had been partners for a while.
That's true. That's right. I remember the beginning. It's like, he doesn't even fucking know.
Okay.
Or the Browns could have got together, you know, but Danny's all done, so who knows? Yeah.
Hey, you know what? For all we know, it could have been Gary Busey's character.
That's true.
Baby comes out and goes, it's a fucking alien, Harrigan. A little baby Gary Busey, dude.
Wow.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my.
He's such a fucking weird actor.
Gary Busey is one in a million, dude.
He really is. There's only a single time and a place Gary Busey could become famous, and it happened. And I'm happy to. Yeah. I'm happy to. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, as we mentioned, poor Jerry is killed along with a whole bunch of people in the subway.
Yeah.
And Leona is spared, you know, but she's like in shock, right? And this is where Harrigan arrives at the crime scene, but finds, you know, he acknowledges that, you know, Leona's alive, but, you know, she's taken to the hospital. But Jerry's body is like MIA. So he finds this traces of blood from the sub that leads out of the subway. And so this is where Harrigan follows that lead of that trail of blood and finds the predator claiming Jerry's head.
Damn.
Just straight up rips it out and just walks away. And then this is where Harrigan chases the fleeing predator to the streets of downtown. But suddenly Harrigan is intercepted by Keyes and his men. We still don't know about this mystery task force that these guys are involved with, but this is where we find out right here.
Yep.
Keyes lets Harrigan in on their investigation and reveals that this monster is an extraterrestrial hunter. In the words of Gary Busey, a fucking alien. I like that delivery. I like the way he says it.
Seriously.
Because he's like, this is an extraterrestrial hunter. And Danny Glover's got this confused look on his face, and he just clears it up and clarifies it by going, a fucking alien.
a magic marker, a felt pen.
A fucking magic marker. Oh, my God. So, furthermore, Keyes reveals to Harrigan that this fucking alien has infrared vision and active camouflage and hunts for sport throughout several armed conflicts, including one in Central America, which is, of course, a nod to the first Predator movie.
That's right.
Keyes and his team have developed a plan to capture the Predator at a nearby slaughterhouse using insulated suits, ultraviolet lights, and cryogenic weapons. All in the name of science, bro.
It looks like a pretty foolproof plan until...
Yep. Until the Predator arrives and he gets a little suspicious about his environment. It's working pretty well because the Predator legit cannot see Keyes and his men.
Mm-hmm.
But Keyes and his team do not have a visual on the Predator. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. The Predator switches viewing fields, and then he finds Keyes and his men basically through the moving flashlights that are hanging on their shoulders. And so he finds Keyes and his men in the slaughterhouse ready to bait him into a trap.
I love it. He used the Oslo filter. He's like, I can see the details now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's
good. He's like, let me switch filters here, man. There's something weird going on here, man.
It's
Predator's smart, dude. Predator's smart.
He's just like, you fucking... This is my first time on Earth?
Yeah.
I'm going to post this on my IG stories. You just watched, dude. You and your friends are dead.
He's out, right?
He's out. All the anniversary of the Dark Knight release.
Oh, yeah. There, that's today, huh?
That's today.
Dude, was it 16 years since the Dark Knight release?
Shoo, wow, that hurts a lot. Think about it in that context.
Jeez, 16 years. My gosh. All right, so Harrigan tries to warn Keyes about the Predator. I like how he jumps on the headset. He's like, he's right there. He's right there. Keyes, get your men out of there. He's like, who is this? Cut the line. But Keyes and his team do not have a visual on the Predator, unfortunately. So suddenly the Predator attacks Keyes and his men and kills them all off.
Poor men. No.
Yeah, dude. I'll take this one right here,
Go
dude.
For it. Top it off.
Yeah, dude.
You're
so
the flow.
This title goes, you are one ugly motherfucker.
Wow, good delivery.
I that's two people in one.
Nice. I like it.
All right. So anyways, Harrigan makes his way inside the slaughterhouse to help Keyes. He ends up shooting and wounding the Predator. The Predator fights back and nearly defeats Harrigan when out of fucking nowhere, Keyes shows up and tries to freeze the Predator with the cryogenic rifle. And it looks like it's working for both of them. It looks like the Predator has finally been defeated. Mm-hmm. However... the Predator gains the upper hand as he launches his smart disc through that's literally what it's called. I looked it up. I was like, it's called the smart disc. All right, cool. And he launches his smart disc through some dead cattle and through Keys himself, tearing him in half. But somehow, only his lower body falls to the ground while his upper body stays floating in the air with the cattle, which is, ever since I was a kid, that always bothered me. I was like, wait, where's his upper body?
It's the smart disc, dude. I'm telling you, Apple's working on this shit. Mm-hmm. Tim Cook is going to introduce the smart disc. Yep. Your enemies will remain levitated after you defeat them.
Oh, man.
Only compatible with Apple Vision.
Oh, that's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Can you imagine Apple Vision, but POV as a predator? Like, you're hunting humans?
That has to be a thing. That has to be a thing. That's all I'm waiting for the smart disc.
We should pitch this idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is actually not bad, dude.
There you go.
But you can make a predator game for the Apple Vision Pro, and where you are the predator, and you're seeing everything through heat vision.
That'd be so badass, because you could just kill fodder.
Yeah,
you just kill fodder. It's fantastic. Pretty much. I'm with it.
Pretty much. All right, so the Predator chases Harrigan to the roof, where they clash and fall and hang off the ledge of the roof. The Predator arms his self-destruct disc. He's like ready. He's like, all right, dude, this is where both of us die right here. Yeah. But Harrigan grabs the disc and chops the Predator's arms off. Or arm, just one arm, singular, not arms. Mm-hmm. And nice typo right there. What did I write? But Harrigan grands the disc. Oh, nice little typo there, huh? All right, so the Predator's wounded. He's got his arm just got chopped off, but he ends up falling, and he crash lands in an old couple's bathroom. And there he attends his wounds, and he flees. Oh, man, this whole scene is...
We got no leads. Our arms are falling off.
I like how in the... we get a little bit more, like, of that survival instinct from the Predator as he's like... attending his own wounds in the in the bathroom. He's making these chemicals to stop the bleeding of his arm or whatever.
As a kid, this scene was always one that like really grabbed me.
Yeah,
it really fucking fucked me up, actually.
I thought it was a very cool scene, too. And then like when the old lady tries to investigate like what's that noise in her bathroom, like the Predator busses right through the door and heads out of the apartment. Mm-hmm. And then Harrigan follows, like, it's okay, lady, I'm a cop. And then he goes, and the lady goes, I don't think he gives a shit.
Dude, oh my God. Okay, when we get to our reception, I got stories on this one. This is nice. Oh, I love this movie.
All right, please. So, let's see. There he attends his wound. Okay, Harrigan pursues the Predator and into an underground spacecraft. So, damn, the setting has completely changed. We went from like an LA environment to like this spaceship interior, which is really cool sets right here that I gotta admit here.
Oh, definitely.
There, Harrigan and the Predator fight one last time. Eventually, Harrigan kills the Predator with his own smart disc.
Ooh.
Look at that. And just when Harrigan breathes a sigh of relief, a group of Predators just show up in the fucking out of nowhere, and they all team up and they huddle around Harrigan. Like, I like this whole scene right here where Harrigan's like, oh, fuck. And then he just drops the disc and he goes, okay. Who's next? I thought that was so cool.
As a kid, that was the scariest shit.
Oh, yeah,
like,
me too.
Because I was into him winning. I was like, oh my God, he fucking did it. And then they all come, and I'm like, motherfucker.
Then like 10 more Predators show up at the door. I'm like, oh, fuck. That is some scary shit. And they look terrifying, dude. They all have like different designs on the mask. Like they all have their own unique looks. I thought that was really, really
cool. It was super cool, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I already read that part. Okay, the Predators, the group of Predators collect this Predator that we've been following the whole time, he's known as the City Hunter. Mm. Something I probably should have mentioned in the beginning, but they collect the Predator's body as the leader of the pack tosses an antique American pistol at Harrigan. And this American pistol was like from the 1700s. Yeah. Indicating that these guys have been here for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm.
So a little story right there. We'll get to that part a little later. As the movie ends, the spacecraft takes off, leaving Harrigan back in L.A. Harrigan meets with one of Keyes' men, reassuring him that they'll be back.
In far less renowned sequels, yes.
Cue in the Adam Silvestri theme, dude.
That was good. That was very, very, very good. Good movie. Oh, can't wait to talk about this shit.
Good one, dude. Fwen, talk to us a little bit about production.
Yeah, let's learn about that. I actually know nothing about this, so let's
roll. There's some interesting stuff here. You might check this out. You might enjoy some of this.
Let's fucking see it. So, production time, baby. Now, after the success of Predator, 20th Century Fox approached the Thomas brothers about writing the sequel. The studio even pitched them as many as 6 ideas for a Predator dose. One of these ideas was to put the Predator in the urban jungle of Los Angeles during a massive heat wave, which is happening right now. So, Angelinos, watch out when you step outside, especially if you enter gang war territory.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude. There's gonna be a predator right there, a city hunter, just watching you.
I'm just saying, dude. During the George Floyd riots, he was out. Well, it wasn't that hot outside, so maybe I don't know. But producer Joel Silver approached Nightmare on Elm Street 5, the Dream Child director Stephen Hopkins to take on the directing duties for Predator 2. Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting choice of director. Okay.
Yeah.
Stephen Hopkins originally wanted Patrick Swayze for the role of Harrigan. Additionally, Arnold Schwarzenegger was originally going to be in the sequel, but Arnold declined to return due to a salary dispute. That would have been interesting. He becomes an LAPD police officer. Patrick Swayze would have had a dance off with the fucking Predator for sure. But, you know.
Yeah.
Danny Glover didn't.
I think Danny Glover was fantastic, but Patrick Swayze, I think I can see him a little. I don't know. He's just too damn nice.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you needed that Murdaugh energy for sure.
Yeah, Danny Glover, I think, was like perfectly casted for this role.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, but check out who else wanted this role right here.
Oh shit! I just read it. Steven Seagal was also approached for playing Harrigan, but in classic Steven Seagal fashion, he recommended Harrigan to be a CIA psychiatrist who's a martial arts expert.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I'll do your movie, but you gotta let me be part of the CIA. I'm not an LAPD guy. I don't play LAPD. I don't play regular cops. I play real, real professional crime fighters. You gonna tell me? Steven, it's hard to read. See? Predator doesn't stand a chance. Predator does not stand a chance. I'll go to the next script.
What if for this movie right here, we can make the Predator come from Russia? That way I fight him and I defeat Vladimir Putin all by myself, just with my hands and my feet, with a little bit of kung fu, because I am Steven Seagal and this is Crouching Cops, Hidden Badges.
Can you make Leona like way younger though? Like way younger. Way younger and dressing room right next to mine.
Like, but Steven, we're gonna have to chop off the ponytail though. Whoa. Who said anything about chopping off my hair? You chop off this hair, I'll chop off your soul.
I'll chop off your dick and put it up your ass. How about that? I read the script. You don't think I read the script? I read the script. I really want to say this line.
It's like, by the way, I will do it for real.
That's me grabbing the bull by the horns. But that really happened.
Oh, we're having a lot of fun time with Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal not getting his fucking role. Oh.
Oh, dude.
That's all good. Right. I think we're the only people in our podcast that have watched Steven Seagal movies.
Yeah.
Under in the siege. Whole HPP network.
Okay. Under Siege 1 and 2.
Oh, Jesus, dude. Whatever the straight-to-video ones that my dad just could not stop fucking renting.
I know. My dad also. Dude, our dads were the same dudes.
They were the same fucking dudes, I tell you.
We'd watch Steven Seagal movies for
all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was the one? Exit Wounds?
DMX?
With DMX, that's right.
Oh my God. That really happened.
That was a real movie with DMX and Steven Seagal. That's right. Still not as good as Romeo Must Die, baby. That's the GOAT.
That movie's fucking awesome.
All right. Yeah. Anyways, we're lamenting. Okay, let's go back to this one. Joel Silver brought in actors he had previously worked with on the Lethal Weapon movies, Danny Glover and Gary Busey. Now, composer Alan... Oh, my gosh. What if they do a Predator movie with the 21 Jump Street crew?
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay, sorry. That just came to my mind right now.
Oh, save that for the fun question.
I gotcha. Yeah. Now, composer Alan Silvestri returned to score Predator 2 amazingly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Alan Silvestri... He's one of the most underrated film composers ever. We have our John Williams, we have our Danny Elfman's. But dude, Alan Silvestri has given us some gold. Like, one of his most modern, like, well-known pieces is the Avengers theme.
That's an iconic fucking theme.
It is. Yeah, that's Alan Silvestri. He's done so many, like, he's done movies. He's done music for so many movies. Like, if you think of one and you didn't know it was from Alan Silvestri, chances are it's probably from Alan Silvestri.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's got the sci-fi sounds down. That's for sure.
You mentioned Joel Silver. Joel Silver is a producer who actually went on to produce The Matrix and a whole bunch of other movies. He's also a really well-known producer.
Joel Silver has been in the game for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
How did I not mention this? Adam Silver. There you go. Say calling him Adam again. He did Back to the Future.
That's what it was. Yeah, okay.
He did Back to the Future, The Mummy. He's composed music for, of course, Predator 1 and 2, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. What else? I already mentioned Avengers. How about this? Stuart Little and Mouse Hunt?
Sometimes you gotta get work, baby.
I know, dude. Yep. Right?
Oh, my God. And Joel Silver, also, Romeo Must Die. Romeo Must Die.
Oh, wow.
Romeo Must Die, awesome. For sure. And The Nice Guys, which is a highly underrated fucking movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Everybody should watch The Nice Guys. That shit is amazing.
All right, I'm looking up Joel Silver movies right now. Oh, dude, House of Wax, a Paris Hilton classic? Hell yeah, dude.
Definitely going to be covered one day on this bitch. I'm telling you right now.
I'm down. I'm super down. I think Alex is down, too.
Oh, definitely. We got to get our Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Joel Silver has produced a shit ton of movies.
He's done some good stuff, dude. Like, seriously.
The OG Roadhouse, Die Hard. I know he did. Yeah, he was involved in Die Hard. Holy shit, dude. 13 Ghosts. Oh, my God. All right. We'll get back to that.
The Matrix, baby.
Dude, Demolition Man. Holy fuck. The Matrix.
Shit.
Yeah, that's a big one right there. The Matrix movies, actually. He's producer for this. Anyway, so let's
get back to this. Yes. Yeah. So we're getting on Joel Silver dick riding real quick. Mm-hmm. So we'll go past that. Now, where the fuck was I?
You were on...
Given the Alien franchise is also from 20th Century Fox and special creature effects provided by the great fucking Stan Winston, who you've heard many times on this podcast. And his team added a xenomorph skull among the trophy skulls in the Predator spaceship.
Did you ever catch that?
Yeah, that when I was a kid was the most
I thought that was so cool.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
What? There's an alien? Because every kid knew Alien.
Yeah.
For sure. Even if you didn't watch the movies, Alien just looked cool.
Yep.
It was fucking cool. Yeah, that was one of the dopest things as a child.
Yeah. And of course, Stan Winston also did the creature effects for the Predator in the first movie as well. Mm-hmm. So, when he was asked to come back for the sequel, he said, oh, hell yeah, of course, yeah. it's such an iconic fucking creature, the Predator.
Yeah.
So... And he also worked on Aliens as well. He was also one of the creature effects creators for the Xenomorph. Mm-hmm. And so as a kid, seeing that Xenomorph skull, at first, when I was a kid, I saw this movie so many times as a kid.
Same. A lot. This particular one, actually, a lot.
But it wasn't until, the internet movie era of the early 2000s, when we got internet installed in our house and stuff like that, and I started going on movie websites, movie blogs. I remember those.
Yes.
People would always point out, do you remember in 1990 in Predator 2, there was a skull of an alien? I was like, oh, cool. I actually knew that, but I wasn't sure because I didn't have the internet back then to confirm that. So,
Oh, it was such an interesting time. I got to say, the level of hype in that crossover, to me... Early 90s crossovers like that, Jason Goes to Hell when Freddy gets the mask.
It was
a very similar level of
so cool.
What? They know each other.
Yeah. That was so cool.
Yeah. Yep. Again, 90s were a special time, man. They really, really were.
Oh, they were just giving us blue balls with all these crossovers.
And we had to wait. Yeah. We had to wait until he did them badly 10 years later. That's
we had to wait for 10, sometimes even 15 years later. Yeah, yeah dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the MPA originally gave Predator 2 an NC-17 rating, so the filmmakers made some major cuts to bring it down to an R rating. This is a gory fucking movie.
It is.
It's a gory fucking movie, and that kind of makes sense a little bit.
Dare I say it's a little gorier than the first one?
I think so. I absolutely think so. Mm-hmm. And it's, not hyper... the gore stylized, obviously, but it looks pretty fucking spot on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is.
It's nice and... The blood is, like, nice and juicy and red, like, dark red. It's not too bright.
They give you a lot of organs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of organs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do we see some full frontal? Like, some naked dudes, like, hanging upside down, right?
Yes.
Full-on dead flappage.
Yes, dead flappage is the best thing you've ever said on this podcast, Phil. Holy shit. Wow. I gotta find a way to incorporate that to my regular vernacular. Dead flappage. Oh my god, that's coming in the arena. Use the weight.
That's gonna replace whiskey dick. Like, yeah, damn, I got a case of dead flappage happening.
Dead flappage. Oh man, shouldn't have taken that last fucking old fashioned, baby. Anyways, fun fact: there is a great unofficial dance video featuring Danny Glover and the group of Predators. If you are having a bad shitty day, watch this dance video, and we hope it turns your frown upside down. It's fucking awesome. Yeah. Phil linked it in our thread.
Yeah.
Hilarious shit.
Yeah. I saw that thing years ago because it was like about 7 or 8 years ago where I revisited this movie for the first time since childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, Predator 2, not bad. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But like, as I look up Predator 2, like 6, 7 years, 8 years ago, I go on YouTube and I go on a rabbit hole of Predator 2. And that's where I found this video. I'm like, holy shit, look at this. This is so cool. It's like Danny Glover dancing with a whole bunch of Predators.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, to like early 90s, like hip hop.
Yeah.
But yeah, all
Danny
right.
Glover's got the moves. He's got the moves.
He does. Sure. He does. Yeah. And so did the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool because like you hear the music in the background and you can just hear the stomping and like the rubber movements of the Predator suits as they're dancing.
It's so cool.
Yeah. And at the end of the video, you hear the crew just going, clapping and like applauding and, you know, just having a good time on set. It seems like it was a fun set to work on.
I agree. Speaking of good time, real quick. There we go.
There it is.
Beautiful.
Shoot. That's what I'm talking about. Mm. Well, that sounded... Oh, that sounded refreshing, Fwen.
I almost went full Stone Cold right there. That shit was about to pour out right there.
Yeah, it sounded like dun-dun-dun-dun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to put there you go.
Dude, you got the
ASMR right here. Jesus. We're talking about the good Predator.
Damn, dude.
All right.
Is it weird that my little xenomorph is freaking... No, I'm joking.
Jesus.
Webster's going to listen to this. She's like, what the fuck?
At least they went to the gay shit way later in the episode. We did go titties pretty fast, though.
We did. Yeah. We did. All right. So, meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about how Predator was received by the crowds.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I'm interested in this one, too. Cool. I know shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do it. So... Predator 2 dropped into theaters on November 12th, 1990, and it opened at number 4 that weekend, and it was with some heavy competition, dude.
Yeah.
We're talking Dances with Wolves, Rocky 5, and Home Alone. I mean... Yeah, for 1990, those are some big movies.
You're going against Costner, Stallone, Culkin. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a weekend to choose to release your sci-fi, you know, horror sequel, dude.
Yeah, what if we do counter-programming? It'll work just fine. It's award-level fucking movie with Dance with Wolves, huh? Okay.
However, this movie did perform really pretty well, earning a total of $57 million.
Yeah, you got your manhood. You made your money back.
Yeah, I made the money back. Yeah. So it says sigh. So I'm going to sigh right here.
Mm.
Rotten Tomatoes gives Predator 2 a whopping 30% with a consensus stating, not satiating or whatever the hell I wrote right there, quote from Rotten Tomatoes, "The thrill of the hunt is gone in this hackened sequel."
Hackneyed sequel. Also, you put satitating. So the titties came back.
Satitating. Satitating.
Titty and tang in one fucking thing. There you go. Yeah, this is the terrible synopsis from IMDb. I'm sorry. Or not IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes.
They fucked up. They absolutely fucked up. This is the wrong rating.
Yeah. We got a couple more, some critics right here who, at the time. So Rita Kempley of the Washington Post says that Predator 2 is the dismissal irony of RoboCop and the brooding fatalism of Blade Runner.
Okay, that's an interesting take on it.
I think I can see where this person is coming with here. Yes. So the dismal irony of RoboCop. So RoboCop is in many ways a satire of a dystopian city, kind of like what we see here in Predator 2. It's like the literal version. It's like remove the irony of RoboCop and you got Predator 2, right?
Yeah.
Because you see the Frank Miller style of like the media portrayal, you know, gang warfares and stuff like that and insane.
Especially with the reporter coming in and out of this movie, too. It really is like an analog for like modern day media. Yeah. Modern day, quote unquote, with the 90s version of it, obviously.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think where this person from the Washington Post comes with the fatalism of Blade Runner, you see some of that L.A. noir, dare I say noir? Hints, I guess you should say, I guess I would say of L.A. noir in Predator 2. You know, fucking Danny Glover is like this no-nonsense cop. He wears a fedora. He's following a crime scene. He's following a killer, you know. So I guess you can see where they... I guess I can see where they got Blade Runner from.
Kind of. I mean, it's has no the Blade sci-fi Runner elements. At all, yeah, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely no Blade Runner, but I can see where I put it in this script because I thought it was a very interesting quote from Rita Kempley of the Washington Post here.
Kempley? Yeah. All right.
So here is some Letterboxd reviews. Shall we, dude?
Let's do it. Let's rock them.
All right, let's do it, dude. All right. So Matt Singer with 3 stars says, I enjoy how sweaty this movie is. In one scene, Bill Paxton sweats through his shirt and his jacket. A true hero.
Yeah.
Yes. We mentioned earlier how sweaty this movie is.
It's a very sweaty movie.
Mm-hmm. You can feel how hot it is in L.A. when, you know, I wonder if that was the case in during production. I was really looking for some info like that, like during the filming of it. There was very little stuff I could find here.
Yeah, this is still like, honestly, prime dystopian because the riots were like 2 years later, so nobody really knew. So there's like the cops were just kind of getting away with shit at this point. Yeah, so, yeah.
True. All right, here we go with another one right here. Adam Bolt with 3.5 stars says, ha ha ha, a predator asking a kid if they want candy. I get it.
Yeah. Not some candy.
Oh my god. You hear that boy's voice in the subway, and I thought that was so creepy as a kid.
Yeah, that was.
I was like, oh, that's kind of creepy. Oh, that's so weird. Because you see, like, the camouflage predator through all these strobe lights, like, you know, all this damage and bloodbath in the subway, and you just hear this little boy going, want some candy? And I'm like, to Bill Paxton, and I was like, fuck, that's creepy.
That's got to be a weird thing to hear before you get capped.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I like how in that scene, Bill Paxton like just finds a machete on the ground.
And yeah, he's like, "L.A. Metro, baby, let's roll."
Yep. All right. So Brian Especia with 3.5 stars. Also, he says, "This is a quote." Quote. So I go in for my physical, right? And the doctor says, I need a semen, stool, and urine sample. I say, gee, doc, I'm in a big hurry. Can I just leave my underwear? I miss Bill Paxton every day. Mm-hmm. And RIP to Bill Paxton.
RIP, major gem.
Great joke, by the way, told by Bill Paxton in the joke in the movie.
Anime characters. Delivery is so cartoonish. Absolutely. It's fucking hilarious. It's like he dubbed himself, for sure.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Great way to say it. Yeah, he was like... He was just so over the top with like how obnoxious he is, I guess.
Yeah, but you like root for his ass too. Yeah, like in the subway scene when he's ready to die, I'm like, don't kill him. Like, don't kill him.
Yeah, dude, he's got that charming level of obnoxiousness.
He's a charming doofus.
Yes,
he's definitely a charming doofus.
He really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. One more Letterboxd review here by Marmar with 3 stars says, the Predator single-handedly defunds the LAPD.
Wow. I told you, dude. They were at the fucking riots.
That's good,
that's
dude.
That's a good one right there. All right.
That's good. All right. And I think that covers it for the Letterboxd reviews. And we have reached the point where we just openly discuss Predator 2, dude. Let's
fucking do it.
Gwen Serino, dude, let's get your thoughts on Predator 2, man.
Okay, so this movie came out in a very special time. when we lived in my tia's house, and it was, you know, because me and Phil were both Latinos, we were both Mexicans, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's a time in every Mexican's life when you live with your entire family for a special duration, mm-hmm. There's a lot of you in one place. Some of you are sleeping on the floor. Some of you sleeping in somebody's room. Your whole family's in there. Yep, absolutely. And this was during that time. It's in there with Child's Play and like Jungle Book and all these movies that were just a variety of shit that we would just watch. Because also, your S.A. Theos don't care if it's rated R or rated G. They will put it on and you just watch it. And this is one of those ones that they were like, oh, fuck, Predator's on right now. And then you would just slap it on. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my favorite action movies growing up as a kid, actually. I weirdly have stand two more than one, like for sure. As a kid, I don't know why. I really, really love two. And I always remember it's a movie that escalates tremendously. Right. Like, it starts off already in a war zone. You think, like, holy fuck, this is weird and exaggerated and what the fuck. It gets crazier. Like, it actually gets crazier as the movie continues, and in such a good way. Honestly, I think they made a smart decision in not doing a one-to-one or same setting as the first one. They went way fucking different.
And I love that.
Right? And it works. Danny Glover worked as a lead, for sure. He definitely was, like, that aged kind of guy. Busey, fantastic. Honestly, the cast's fucking solid.
Yeah.
The level of cheese was the perfect amount because it's the kind of cheese where they're not winking at you. They are playing this shit 100% the whole fucking way. And if they're in for the ride, as an audience member, you're in for the ride. And I love this movie to my core. I can't... I mean, there are flaws, obviously. It's dumb. It's really fucking... It's genuinely a stupid movie. But man, does it have heart. It has a lot of heart, and I 100%. Will always stand for it for sure. How about you, Phil?
100%, dude. I'm with you on that one a lot. I appreciate everything you just said to me, everything you just said right now, because I also lived a very similar lifestyle when this movie came out. I lived in, you know, in a household where parents didn't, you know, didn't really care too much about movie ratings. If we're seeing titties for a certain amount of time...
Yes, that's
it! If it goes past like the 10-second mark, my mom would probably be like, "Oh, you should probably cover his eyes."
Yeah,
and I was like, you know, if we see flashes of titty, no one's gonna bat an eye.
No, they don't
say anything. Mm-hmm. But if we're seeing a pair of boobies just flopping around or just being there for like longer than 10 seconds, then somebody's gonna say something.
Yeah, right.
So, but when it comes to the Predator movies, Predator 1 and 2 were those two movies where my dad's like an automatic like. You can see the dopamine hit that my dad like, oh, Predator 1 and 2? Oh, fuck yeah, throw it in right now. Let's do it, dude. Like, it was an automatic, like, hell yeah, let's do it. You know, chores are done.
Yeah.
We're, you know, my dad's just coming back from his 9-to-5. He's all like, all right, dude, everything's clean. We can throw on a movie. All right, dude, what's on right now? Dude, Predator 2? Let's do it. That was kind of the life right there. And so it was definitely... I really do enjoy this movie a lot. I still think Predator 1 is my favorite one because to me, I'm not discrediting Predator 2 here.
Yeah.
Predator 2, I think if I'm going to put my movie critic hat on, it takes a kind of a dip here with some of like the execution in the script and stuff like that. When it's more aggressive.
It's so much more aggressive.
It's
absolutely.
Way more aggressive than the first one. The first one is kind of a slow burn in some ways, dude.
The first one has a real auteur sense to it, I think. This one doesn't.
Part one really does take its time. It's slower. It's more methodical. I'm not saying it's like a slow burn where you're falling asleep and you're like, it's more of like a horror movie to a point where you're just like, oh fuck, these alpha males are scared shitless. And same theme in this one too. When you got these very strong people, men and women, like Leona, dude, she was fucking a badass, like, woman.
And like, Akira fucking parallels here for sure.
It really is. And Danny Glover coming straight from the Lethal Weapon movies, like, you know, same thing. I just think Predator 2, I just think they just took the scale up with the action, the suspense, the gore, for sure. It's a much gorier film.
So much gore.
I think there was more jump scares in this one than the first one. But like I said, overall, I think it's just overall more aggressive than the first one.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. I think they saw the success from the first one. They're like, all right, let's try to do that,
But like you mentioned earlier, like they're not one for one just doing everything just like how how it was in the first one. So Predator 2, which leads me to my next question. I'm going to mix it up right here. I know I got like an order here, but I got a question for you here, dude.
Yes.
Do you consider Predator 2 a guilty pleasure or has it aged well?
That actually, when I saw it right now in the outline, I have a hard time with it because I do feel like it aged pretty well, but only in the sense that you have to understand you're not watching a film. Like, the first Predator is a film. Like, there's genuinely...
I think film students study Predator 1.
Yes, absolutely. Right? It's an example of tension. Mm-hmm. It's an example of... Like, it's a commentary on masculinity. Like, there's a lot of, like, stuff you can mine from that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, doesn't give a shit about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
If anything, it might be a social commentary in some sense, but it doesn't, like... It's one of those social commentaries that hammers you over the head... And it does it so ridiculously, you're like, okay, well, I get it now. I get it. LA is crazy and cities are bad and what the fuck's happening. Yeah, you know what? Maybe it's a guilty pleasure. Maybe it is only because, like, it's a really exaggerated, kind of dumb, like, there's not a finesse to this movie.
Yeah.
This movie has no real finesse to it. It's got style up the fucking wazoo, but there's no, like, fine-tuned...
Style over substance?
Yeah, because it's you're right. It I wouldn't say there's a lot of substance to its messaging or anything like that. Like, you really are here for the ride. It's a great ride. It might not be a ride for everybody, but it sure as hell is a ride for me, and I'm with it. I would say it's guilty pleasure, but not as guilty as you would normally feel. Like, it's kind of a guilty pleasure. I do think it is aged well, though.
Right.
How about you,
Honestly,
Phil?
Honestly, I wouldn't go as far as calling it a guilty pleasure. And after rewatching it again, I mean, this is Predator 2 is one of those movies where I watch Predator 1, I watch once a year. Predator 2, I'll revisit probably every other year, every 2 years, every 3 years, probably. I'm still very familiar. This is one of those movies I've watched all my life, but lately, I've been noticing I watch Predator 1 way more than 2. Like, Predator 1, I can, like, you know, name it. You know, but, I wouldn't go as far as calling 2 a guilty pleasure, but dude, I hate to sound like mean to the current state of movies and like
for
the past like 5, 6, 7 years.
Might be buying what you're selling here. Yeah, so please,
It's just when it comes to these action films, because let's face it, I think Predator is a little more action. Predator 2 is a little more action than horror.
Yes.
But there's still, for sure, a lot of horror in this movie, for sure. There's some scary shit in this movie. When you think of, like, when you look at current action movies, unless a lot of it is green screens, a lot of it is fake gun pistol muzzle flashes, some of them don't even fire real guns, which I understand, safety precautions and stuff like that. Alec Baldwin. I'm sorry. Very uncalled for. I'm sorry. But I get it, like, you know, this movie, like, dude, just look at the first 5 minutes of this movie. It takes you straight into a war zone using real explosions, a real exterior location. It's not a green screen. It's not like, you know, this is a sequel. And let's face it, 2024 is the year of sequels and remakes and stuff like that. But, dude, this sequel, I felt like it was done pretty good. And I think it's aged pretty well because, like, there are some cheesy moments in this movie, like with the old lady outside of the bathroom with the Predator and stuff like that. But I feel like it's one of those action horror action movies that we just don't see anymore. Yes. Where there's, like, a moment where you can be like, that was stupid, but funny, I guess. Yeah, all right, that's like cool.
It commits to the bit.
It does commit to the bit. And I, like you mentioned before, man, I think Predator 2 has a lot of heart. You know, it's definitely like it's Predator 1's goofier older brother or something like that, you know?
I would say it's the middle child for sure.
Or the middle child,
it was definitely the middle child. And they tried to... It just had a lot of younger siblings that kind of sucked also.
all right, another one right here. When it comes to, like, sci-fi horror movies, where would you place Predator 2? Like, would you... throw it up there with the same amount of quality that we see in Aliens, like James Cameron Aliens, or would you bring it down to, like, well, the area where you see, like, movies like Event Horizon?
Yo, way more, like, Event Horizon. It's definitely more Event Horizon, right? Who directed Event Horizon? It wasn't Schumacher, was it? I can't remember who it was.
I'll pull it up for you right now.
He's the one that did the Mia Djokovic movies later on, for sure. Paul W.S. Anderson, not Paul Thomas Anderson. Yeah.
Yep, Paul W.S. Anderson, yep.
That's right. So I would say it's definitely in that cheese realm in terms of being a very high-quality version of that. I mean, I personally love it tremendously.
Yeah.
But I know it's not, again, it's back to, it doesn't have the finesse of something that's going to land with even James Cameron's Aliens, which Aliens is a great movie. It's definitely different than Ridley Scott's, but they, you can tell they're in the same, Alien and Aliens are in the same ballpark as a film, as a series. They're in the same, like, you will revere these two, the rest of the series, like, it doesn't even matter. You will always revere these two. Predator kind of has that. But I think the like the filmic conversation you have between the one and two are very different. They're not the same. But that doesn't mean two is bad, really. Like, it's not a bad movie. Like, definitely is not a bad movie. I just don't think it's in the realm of, like, that level of sci-fi. It's kind of in that Event Horizon, like, if you know, you know, kind of sci-fi.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I like that. There are some cheesy moments in Predator 2. Like, I'm just, a couple of are just coming to mind where, like, the Predator's standing in this skyscraper, Nelly skyscraper, with Bill Paxton's skull and spine, and, like, he gets struck by lightning.
Yes.
And you see this terrible lightning animation going around the Predator's body.
Gosh, like, it's so cool too.
It is. So recently I've been doing a really, I've been having a really fun time showing Savannah movies, like action, not even action, like horror movies from the 90s, stuff that she hasn't seen. Yes. So, like, recently I showed her Starship Troopers, and she's never seen it, and she's like, I enjoyed this movie. This is something you just won't see in this day and age. And I'm like, yeah, dude, like, they just, I hate to say it, but they just don't make movies like this anymore, you know?
They're afraid to be on the nose.
Yeah.
And if it's on the nose, they're very preachy about it. This movie is not a preachy era.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. And this movie took some risks by having a completely different setting, a whole new lead, you know, a very diverse cast where it's like they're not Kathleen Kennedy-ing things, you know?
No, saying the word risk in particular, actually, you're right. You're 100% correct, dude. Yeah. Like, risk is something that I think studios are very averse to. This is a studio film that was R-rated risky as fuck, and they still fucking did it. I mean, they, you know, obviously they didn't get good reviews or make a lot of money, but still. Yeah.
20th Century Fox was like, hey, fuck it, dude, let's make a part two and let's have fun with it.
Yeah.
And just look at the Danny Glover Predator dance video. Like, it seems like they did have fun with this, you know?
It really does. Yeah. No, it'll stand out for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so how are we doing on time?
Oh, we're fantastic. We only got like an hour and 6 minutes. We're golden.
Okay, cool. All right, fun question here.
Hey.
I know there was more Predator sequels after that. We can talk more about this later if you want. Mm-hmm. But if a Predator 3 were to hit theaters shortly after Predator 2, so we can keep it early 90s, mid 90s, maybe even late 90s if you wanted to.
Damn.
What would it be about? And which 90s actors would you like to see take on the Predator?
Okay, so if we're going to go real hunters, like real hunters, right? Mm-hmm. Predator 3, Outback. Let's go to the fucking Australian Outback, dude.
Let's
have the Predator fight against these fucking kangaroos and these poisonous ass fucking snakes and tarantulas.
Holy
get pissed
shit.
On by a koala. Let's have it. And let's have Crocodile Dundee be in that bitch.
Let's just have Crocodile Dundee versus the
Predator in the Australian Outback. And Crocodile Dundee.
Oh,
is fucking
God.
Trying to track these, and he's like, I'm looking for the ultimate predator. Like, he's just trying to find, he's tracking animals, he doesn't know what
it
is. It's something he's never seen before. And fucking, he comes across, he's like, just the whole shebang, like everything. And out of nowhere, he's about to get taken out. And this whole cavalcade of sci-fi motherfuckers come in, he's like, we've been tracking this guy for fucking ever. He's like, it was American. Like, so, yeah.
Dude, that is such a cooler answer for me. That's way cooler than mine. I was just saying, let's go back to Central America and bring back Arnold. Arnold has been living in Chile the whole time, and he's been living. He's kind of like a. I was gonna say he was kind of like a hermit. He's been waiting for them to return. He's kind of like Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween 2018. Mm-hmm. Like he's armed himself. He's turned his house into like a Home Alone thing, and he's just been waiting for another predator to show up. But I like the Australian Crocodile Dundee one. That one's way more funner. It's way so fucking cool.
And you know what? We gotta get the American Paul Hogan? Team. What?
Paul Hogan, I think his name was, Crocodile Dundee.
I can't remember, yeah.
I looked him up right now. Yeah, Paul Hogan. He's still with us. He's like 80-something years old right now.
I'm telling you, man. We get that version of it, and then we got to make sure we have the American team stacked, right? So yeah. We're going to go back to Lethal Weapon. We're getting Mel Gibson, because he's already nice. Australian. He can use his regular accent. Well, he'll be their fucking connect over there.
True.
And you know what? As his partner... That's a tough one. You know what? I got one. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A 90s Nicolas Cage, 90s dude.
Nicolas Cage and Mel Gibson tracking down for the Americans, but they run into Crocodile Dundee, who is actually the guy who's good at tracking it. There we go. Dang. In the Australian outback. He's going to burn some shit.
We can have like a... We can have like a 10-year-old Chris Hemsworth just make a little cameo.
Yep.
Offers a predator some candy or something.
Yeah, he does something.
I'm just looking for some more Australian actors. Oh, dude, we gotta have Nicole Kidman in this, dude.
She'd be so fucking good.
Dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else is Australian here? Russell Crowe, Margot Robbie, Hugo Weaving? Oh, wow. Did not know that dude was.
Hugo Weaving Australian. Would have been like the Bill Paxton level character.
Yeah.
As one of the agents for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'd have been hitting on Nicole Kidman like a lot.
Heath Ledger, RIP. He would have been probably another child actor in there.
He's like, crikey.
Crikey.
What That's is so with cool. the infrared?
Good answer. I liked yours way more than mine. That was awesome, dude. Good stuff.
I don't know. It's the thing is, I had not even seen that question before. I just felt, I was like, what terrain have we not conquered yet?
Yeah.
Australia just came up.
For mine, it was going to be the combination of Danny Glover and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Which would be cool. It'd be very, very cool. I agree.
Because if we can switch it now to the conversations of future sequels, I know we as kids, were waiting for an Alien versus Predator movie.
Our whole lives, dude.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I was actually more waiting for a Predator 3 before an AVP, because I was like, dude, I love 1 and 2 so much. I was like, dude, that's like an unfinished trilogy. Like, let's get a part 3, and let's bring it. As a kid, I've been asking for this.
Yeah, because Alien got an Alien 3, which was not bad.
With Sigourney Weaver came back, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And
David Fincher directed it. Come on.
Exactly, I know. Always felt like with Alien, that was like Sigourney Weaver's franchise, right? Mm-hmm. With Predator, nobody is really attached to this one. It's always a different cast.
Yeah, it makes it a little rudderless, unfortunately.
Yeah. Dude, we even had Adrian Brody like lead one, you know?
he worked out for like 2 weeks and was like, I'm going to be sleeveless, right? Sleeveless?
I'm going to get jacked.
Yeah, I'll be sleeveless.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. He surprised me with that one. That was like a Robert Rodriguez movie, too.
Robert Rodriguez? Topher Grace was the bad guy.
Yeah, I know. That was so funny. Very interesting.
Very pervy Topher Grace. That was so interesting.
Very interesting. The one that I really was super disappointed was The Predator. The Shane Black one. Because Shane Black was the first one.
Dude.
And I was like, how do you drop the ball on this?
That's the Keegan-Michael Key one, right?
Yeah.
And Olivia Munn, all that.
Yeah. I was so disappointed with that one. I was like, no way, dude. Really? This is it?
Yeah, Predator's been so rudderless, honestly, compared to Alien. Yeah. At least Alien can come back and be a little prestige with, like, even Prometheus, I thought was, like,
good. There's a new one on the way.
Romulus. It's a series, right?
No, it's a movie.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It comes out, like, in a month or two, like, this summer. Alien Romulus. And it's directed by Fede Alvarez.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't seen shit about that. Oh, my.
There's a trailer. I can link you with
the
trailer
after. I'll check it out. Absolutely. Wait, how was Covenant, though? Was Covenant okay?
It was all right. With the Predator franchise, the sequels have always been kind of whack. They've been okay. They've been mediocre at best. Even the AVP crossovers, when they finally made they made two Alien vs. Predator movies, right?
They did. Requiem was the second one.
Dude, so... However, with Predator, did you see the prequel, Prey?
Prey, I fucking love, dude. I love that movie.
What a home run, dude.
That shit was good.
That was an absolute home run. I loved it. And, I mean, you mentioned DEI earlier. I was like, dude, nobody gave a fuck that it was, like, led by a woman of color, because, like, she was fucking incredible. Dude,
such a good journey, too. She's like, I can't kill shit. Suddenly, like, I'm killing this fucking thing.
Yeah, and I was like, nobody's saying anything about this? All right, cool. That's how we know where I think, like, America and the whole world just agreed on something. I was like, all right, we can all acknowledge that Prey is cool, right? All right, yeah. Prey is, it's not just that. It was a great story. Mm-hmm. It was a great fucking Predator. Great suspense. Dude, the whole movie, like I said, it's a fucking home run, man. We gotta talk about that one soon.
I agree, because you know what it did? It did something different while still respecting the format.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Two respects the format so much. All the other Predator movies after did not. They tried to go too hard and, like, now there's a bunch of Predators, or now there's all of this and da-da-da-da. But, like,
a little too corporate, or is it too,
they tried to adjust the scale too much, because, like, I feel like this movie, also, they're like, no, it's a different thing. It's just, it's not, we're not going to, like, oh, more Predators, more jungle. We're going to do, it's different. It's our movie.
A Predators, different time.
Yeah, because the Adrian Brody one, as I didn't mind it. It wasn't a bad movie. I actually thought it was fine. But you can tell it, like, sucks the first movie's dick. Like, it really blows the first movie. Like, a bunch. It's like, come on. Like, member berries. Like, do you remember?
It's very
you
Force remember? Awakens.
Yeah. It's very Force Awakens.
Yeah.
A little, like, not as, like, safe, I would say. Definitely a little bolder, but
I really enjoyed the idea that they went to the Predator's planet and they got thrown in there. I thought that was such a very awesome concept, but, like, everything you just hit right now just made me thought Predators was like, all right, that was okay. Just wish they didn't, in your words, suck the first one's dick so much.
Yeah they shouldn't have two. Didn't, and you know what? Prey didn't bother to do that either. Prey did its own story. It really did its own thing.
I loved Prey. Prey was such I'm still, to this day, pissed off that Hulu did not put this in a theater.
Dude, that would have been such a good theater experience.
Why would you drop this in a streaming service, dude? Put it in a movie theater.
I mean, it's that 2021, 22. Like, nobody knows how theaters are going to be in the timeline.
That is true.
I know. Yeah, I forgot. This it was like a rough time.
It was a rough time. I can see why. But hey, it's not too late to campaign for this. let's put Prey in theaters.
How about you, whoever does the next Predator movie is the same person that did fucking Prey. Let him do it again.
Yeah.
Right? And it gives us the fucking origin of that goddamn gun, too. That's nice.
You kind of see it in the end credits of Prey, of where the gun comes from.
Yep. It's super cool.
The gun is tossed right there, and it's also in the 1700s at the same time where it's this time where Prey takes place in. Thought that was such a cool thing. But yeah, well, all right. Well, one more thing I gotta ask you before we wrap up here.
Yes, sir.
What would you rate Predator 2 out of 5 skull trophies?
Shit. You know what? I had a rating in mind, but the more we talk about it, maybe it's the seltzers also. But I'm actually gonna rank it up more than I initially anticipated. So I am going to give it a solid. Very solid 4.
Ooh.
Straight up 4 Colombian titties. Colombian titties.
Oh my god, dude.
Yeah.
That's so good. Wow. All right.
I loved it. Actually, I also 3.5 is my original rating. I had that in my head since watching yesterday. But honestly, now that we dissect it with the broader franchise in mind, I can't give it's a 4. And my nostalgia hits. I'm biased.
I'm trying to put my nostalgia aside here, but, dude, after everything we just discussed right now, and again, I hate to sound like really mean to the current state of movies, but when it comes to put Predator 2 with some stuff that's out, a lot of stuff that's out there right now, or that's been out for the last like 5 years, Predator 2 kicks some of these movies' ass. At first, I was also going to say 3.5, but given everything we just talked about, I'm also going to go 4, man.
Yeah, let's go.
Also going to do 4 on this. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I have no regrets.
Man, see, this is why I would have loved Webster's take, too, because, again, if she survives the Hulk up, we're good. Yeah. So don't worry. Like, we'll see her next week, listeners.
It'll absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think during the Predator episode that we had, by the way, listeners, if you haven't listened to it, tune into our Predator episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think with Predator, I gave it, like, a straight-up 5 out of 5. No hesitation.
It was up there. Absolutely. Yeah.
Predator 2 just makes sense for me that it's at a 4.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, just minor things here and there. that, like, we're like, okay, I'll see where this movie's going. But, like, I love the aggressiveness. I mentioned this movie's aggressive, but I'm not saying it's mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm not taking anything away from its aggressiveness. I'm just saying it's aggressive because that's the route they chose to go with.
Yeah, and there's few movies that can actually, that have done this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, like, in the RoboCop, again, realm of movies for sure. But they don't make those movies anymore.
You could really look at, we can really study Predator 2 and RoboCop 2 for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Those are R-rated sequel fucking a thon right there.
We could really study those two movies because I've seen Predator 2 like 2 days ago for this episode, but I also saw RoboCop 2 like a month ago.
Oh, how does it hold up, dude?
Dude, it holds up. It holds up. I think Predator 2 and RoboCop 2 share a similar narrative that we've been talking about this entire
episode. That's super cool because you're right. Predator 1 and RoboCop 1, they really have their iconography down. Mm-hmm. So
maybe a slight dip in quality with the script and its predecessor. I was gonna say that, and then I was like look at RoboCop 1 and Predator 1. Kind of like what we've been talking about. It's kind of more of like a lot of film students study those movies. Mm-hmm. Look at their sequels. This one's like, all right, we're having more fun with this one. Yeah. And, you know, balls to the wall craziness is in this one. And just like in RoboCop 2, you see that in Predator 2.
Oh, man, with that fucking giant machine and everything. Okay, we'll cover RoboCop at some point. I think it still counts. Mm-hmm. So if it's not on Phil's birthday month, it's going to be on mine. I'll tell you that right now. Anyways, okay, cool. With that, we got our ratings. Again, you'll hear Webster next and the rest of us on our season finale, which is happening in the next episode whenever that fucking drops. So with that, thank you, listeners. That was Predator 2 from 1990. Now, you can find me, of course, on the NPC Gaming podcast. There's an Instagram that is npc.gaming.pod. Me and fellow Horrible People or People's Network members, James and Cordova, do run Gaming News bi-weekly. However, Phil, where can they find you?
Yeah, I am on the Instagrams. You can follow me there, Phil Acevedo. I'm also on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel. Posting some cool stuff there every now and then. Mm-hmm. I shoot videos and stuff. I'm actually getting a short film in development right now as we speak.
Shit.
Be on the lookout for that.
He is selling feet pics too to fund that film. So if you can search for that.
Yeah,
right there.
Funding for this movie is going to be interesting. So I opened up an OnlyFans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Only
you know,
Phil's, dude. Only Phil's.
Only,
come
the
on.
Only Phil being Only Phil. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah, so we got a finale next week. We're gonna have the crew on, and then we're gonna take a month and a half break, so you won't hear from us a little bit. Apologies for the delays. We're busy adults and things have been busier than normal. It is an election year. We'll just blame it on Trump again. But with that, thank you very much for listening. And you know what? We're not getting too old for this shit. We'll keep going strong,
there
baby.
You go. Predator 2, great movie, Rotten Tomatoes, has no idea what they're talking about. They say 30%, but I give it a straight 95%.
Oh, make cinema great again. That's not going to go.
All right. Later, guys.
Peace.
Bye.